Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Established African. Happy festive season. December is ultimately my favorite month because the energy is flowing, the vibes are flowing, everybody's happy, everybody's coming home, Christmas, all the good stuff. So I know we've had a really tough 2020, but let's just enjoy and absorb all the goodness. So today we have an exciting topic, but first let me introduce myself again. I'm Daniela Morgan, in case you forgot, alongside my co-host,
African Castro.
So today we're going to be chiming on themes of change. So we're just going to be discussing the roller coaster that has been 2020. So this is basically how it started, how it's going, all that we picked up along the way, and how we're going to fall forward with all our lessons, just basically making 2021 a better stepping stone and just laying the foundation down for, you know, just a more prosperous year, you know? So let's just get right down to it. So Castro.
Yes.
I will start because today the segment is just a tell-all about my experiences this year. And I've subdivided all my themes into kind of like how you'd subdivide a book, just into different chapters, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll just begin. Okay. So January this year, you know, I have to take myself all the way back.
All the way back.
Let's just
2020.
How about let's just start with something that everybody can respond with. Yeah. 2020, we all had big goals and big dreams this year. I personally wanted to venture into a more stable line of work. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work out more. I wanted to dye my hair at some point. I had all these big goals and all these small goals. Mm-hmm. Travel, definitely traveling was on my bucket list, but all that changed because of the vid. Wow. COVID-19 has completely set all of us back.
Pandemic has calmed people down, you know? It has humbled.
I mean, really, and exactly. And humility is really the foundation of just more intellect, more empathy towards others, more empathy towards yourself.
Exactly.
So that's actually a great theme to start with. For me, I was humbled by the fact that I'm not in control of anything the way I thought I was. You can write down and try and manifest all these things in a little notebook, but there are some things that even you cannot predict and even you cannot control. For instance, the pandemic that hit us all. And we're talking from a point of privilege where, let's just say we were isolated a lot, you know, we could not go to work anymore, unfortunately. We had to leave jobs. We had to, just kind of distance ourselves from our elderly relatives and such. So it was a lot. It was a very stressful time for all of us. But that's even coming from a point of privilege where the worst thing that happened to us is being isolated, but still having a fallback plan. Now imagine the people who were kicked out, evicted, people who actually felt sick, people who lost loved ones directly, and people who lost their own lives. So humility has been a huge, huge theme.
Yeah.
Well, for you as well? Because, you know, you're a proper, like, 9-to-5 working guy.
Yeah.
How did that affect you?
Man, it really affected me because even on the fact that you know, businesses, you know, I had to stop going for meetings. I'm a business developer by nature.
Yeah.
You know, I just like doing physical meetings. I had to stop doing physical meetings. Literally, I felt really bad.
Oh, SO to Zoom.
I was in a very bad place, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the pandemic just reworked everything that you had already planned for and how you wanted to see and fulfill the vision. Because, you know, it's been tough.
It has been tough. A fixed lens as how we wanted to see things.
Or three have not been easy, especially in Kenya.
Yeah.
Considering that our government has been sloppy with the economics.
Yeah.
So it has been really, really tight on people.
Yeah.
So then now coming from that and then now just falling into a pandemic, man, that thing was like a wake-up call to everybody. Like, yo, we never thought the world could stop for a minute.
And funny enough, I am writing my thesis on the positive effects that the COVID-19 curfew implementations have actually had.
Wow.
Because obviously and naturally, there have been way more negative effects to the economy, to the general universal healthcare, etc., etc. But personally for me, there were some positives that came in the beginning of the year. My line of work at the time involved a lot of pressure to interact socially, and with social interactions, especially in environments such as restaurants or pubs, naturally you will be more prone to drinking more just to cope with all the social interactions that you have to deal with at the time. So I was feeling so underwhelmed in the beginning of the year because, number one, it was the same environment, so I was starting to be worn out. Secondly, I was starting to develop, starting to dabble in a slight alcoholism. Mm-hmm. You know, in Kenya, we view it as very passive because it's such a social habit.
Yeah.
But then in actuality, when I took myself away from it, thanks to the pandemic, I realized, wow, like these problems were really birthed by a lot of this clubbing nature.
Yeah.
Going out, and a large part of my work as influencing was doing both. So I was actually grateful that I took a step back because I actually ended up isolating myself more and just not having to interact in spaces that I felt were worn out.
Yeah.
I also, I just didn't really have to dabble and give access to people who I didn't feel like I needed to at the time. I only gave access to people who were deserving of my space, who were reciprocating my energy. I actually had control over that for a change.
Wow.
And also just to do with like addictions, like I said, like alcohol became just a coping mechanism for a lot of friends of mine directly, for myself, especially with this line of work. So having to distance myself from that addiction, and then actually I wrote something down that made me realize that addictions, especially to something like, let's say, alcohol, isn't the problem. The problem was my response to the problem, which is what brought about my addiction. So you have to look back at you have to look back at where all this rooted issues were coming from, and I realized it was forcing myself in spaces and places and saving face when I didn't have to all the time. So that was great for me personally. Did you have to deal with any sort of addictive problems? Because it's me being very transparent. Whether we're Kenya, we really drink a lot. But I will say my mental health thanked me a million times over for actually starting to control and micromanage it. And I'm grateful for the pandemic for helping me take a step back from that. Is there anything that the pandemic helped you further away from that was problematic?
I think a lot of physical meetings that don't even have to be physical, that you could just communicate, you know, on telephone.
Virtually.
It really saved me a lot of fuel money.
Oh, yeah?
No lie. Like, I used to just meet people because, you know, just being a business developer, you know, the power of convincing is when you meet somebody physically, not on your paperwork or on a call conversation. Is you want to see how a human reaction is. You want to see how they are, you know, they're answering back to what you're trying to
covert,
pitch and propose.
Yeah, they're covert body signals.
Exactly.
Or they're feeling like energy.
That. We like that. We like physical meetings. So I realized I turned down a lot of physical meetups. And I realized I've saved a lot of time for myself, and I've become more effective to be meeting people whenever it's necessary to meet them.
So
you know what I mean?
Effective communication, effective, and if necessary, you can physically be there, but not always.
Exactly.
So it saved you a lot of time, it saved you a lot of money,
and it's
improved your communication skills.
It has improved a lot of my communication skills. It has improved, matter of fact, it helped me improve my thought process. I never used to think through things a lot because, you know, life is moving fast.
Yeah, and like when you're put on the spot physically there and there, you kind of just make it up as you go along or feed off someone's energy. But now you can premeditate.
You can premeditate, you can watch things from afar. So it really helped me. It really, really helped me. It helped my brother out, for real.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that I also went through this pandemic was now having to improvise work-wise because, like I said, a large part of my work was actually involved being in restaurants and pubs and stuff. So now that that was cancelled and curfew was implemented, you obviously have to think on your feet. I had two work ventures that actually did not go well. It actually, but the great thing is that, you know, when something doesn't work out, you're closer to finding out what you do want, you know?
Yeah.
So with that said, bad business ventures, I feel like that's been a huge theme for a lot of people. I think I started getting better at guessing and predicting what I can prevent, because now when you start to see a certain pattern,
yeah,
it can take another shape and form with somebody else. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same person. This is not going to work. For me, bad business ventures is when I had to actually humble myself and be a bigger person, especially when somebody else has done me wrong. For instance, I was shooting for a particular skin product. I won't name names because we don't cancel here in this space. But I will say that I was working for a particular brand. I did the shoot and everything for a discounted, a heavily discounted rate because it was COVID. So I understood that they were in a fix. I was also in a fix. Help me help you. So initially we got paid. And it wasn't the promised amount at first, but that's the thing with verbal agreements. So that was my first mistake. And I knew better, but I hadn't done modeling in a while. But I was like, it's okay. This person seems like good energy. They're good people.
But you know, oral contract is considered very vital in the courts as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like you can...
But it can be a he said, she said.
They could like look back and see like, okay, where did the instance, or was there a point of communication that led to this kind of agreement?
Yes.
You know, they could just observe the nature of how the business was conducted, and they can tell if it's real from one side, I mean, it's fake from one side. They could tell, they can always tell.
And the great thing is that I may not have taken an active measures in putting it on a legal contract, but there was an agreement via Instagram DMs, which was, like you said, just as valid. So I was like, yes, I do have this. This was the promised agreement.
Yeah.
Because we had set to do other back-to-back shoots, and that was constant cash flow. And I was excited. I was pumped. And these were young individuals, about maybe 22, 23. And I was like, yes, let's support the local businesses. It's organic. It's green. It's vegan.
Yeah.
It's relevant. And it's a product I would definitely want to be a part of. So with that said, that happened, and then the shoots were never consistent again. There was a lot of miscommunication. There was no direct information given about why the shoots weren't happening. Feedback was very, very limited, only unless people were giving compliments to products via the model group or posting photos, but anything that was directly asking, when are we going to get paid next? When is the shoot? Nothing. So that's already red flag number one. People who are digressing from the actual issue. Because you can be gaslighted by work peers as well. Narcissism is not just limited to partnerships, by the way. It can be from siblings, parents, friendships, you know. I'm sure you understand.
Speak about it. I'm used to it, man.
So, okay, the short version of this is, they had cancelled so many shoots to the point the boss said, I'm gonna give you an inconvenience fee. I was like, okay, great. That seems like a fair thing. They didn't do it. So I confronted them. I was like, I'm an understanding person, and I understand that maybe, you know, your budget is limited and stuff like that, but I would appreciate feedback. Communication is so key.
It's
not what I want to hear, the fact that you're giving it to me means that we're on the same wavelength.
True.
She just went ham on me. She's like, you know, I'm professional. You actually came late for the shoot. I only came late for the shoot because I didn't know where it was in Parklands. I'm not familiar. So I came about maybe 20 to 30 minutes, but I did everything I was supposed to. Then I was going all the way back to Karen. Curfew is 7. So I was like, I did my part and you're still going to use my pictures. I signed the NDA, I signed everything. So she's like, why would I rob you $20? Because that was the inconvenience. I was like, I don't think you robbed me $20, but you certainly haven't given it to me either. So I'm not sure where this is. I'm not sure what kind of standoff this is. It's like, are you going to give it, or is it because you just don't have it and you don't want to look away? 2 months later, there was a scandal, and one of her partners kind of screwed her over, and then she had to completely put that business on pause. From what I could see, I'm not too sure, but there was something like that, and she had to prove that she wasn't a con woman and stuff like that. And I was like, you see, that's the thing, like the truth kind of always circles back. And that was the theme for me, is just don't get into business with just anyone. It doesn't matter how good vibes they present, what quotes they're posting, how they appear on social media is a very small fragment. It can even be an ego reflection of how they think they are versus who they really are. What do you think? Have you gotten into any business ventures and you're like, now I know better for Castro 2021?
Yeah, like, of course, you know, for me it was I was in a lot of partnerships that, including influencer partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
That's a business partnership. It's not a friendship. So
yeah.
I just realized that in the process of it, how effective probably I am to these people and how effective they are to me. And I measured and I looked at the scale and I saw if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. That's the theory that I went with. I was like, does it make money?
And you're running your business.
All the stress, all the agony of, you know, all the worries of, you know, you have risked and all these things that you're putting, all the energy that you're putting. Is it really, really necessary to go through all that and it's not paying?
Especially, you know what I mean? If you end up, you can be a manager and still end up caring for people like you would your own sister or your own brother. Maybe you're the kind of person that can't help that about yourself. So you will directly be affected when things don't work out, in a sense. It doesn't have to always just amount to money, because, you know, there is a saying that, you know, run your relationships like you'd run your business. Use your head, not your heart. But that's not a very easy thing to do if you're an empathetic person. And you are a human at your core, or behind this multi-million dollar businesses and industries, you know, there are human beings behind it.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's what it is. You know, I mean, for me, at the end of the day, it's, you know, you gotta know what you want in life and realize these are the things that I want to achieve in my life, and I want to attain them within this certain period. And if anybody comes within the process of the way, they gotta get out, because at the end of the day, you have to love yourself first before you love anybody. And that I learned. I learned from handling a lot of influence. It took me time to love.
You set the precedence of how you will be treated.
I used to set, you know, as a manager, you set somebody's future goals before yours.
You're quite literally putting them before yourself.
Before your dreams. You're like, before I did this, Establish African, before we did this, I had to literally put everything before my previous influencer. Yeah,
that was a huge part of your line of work.
She gets everything.
Because if she looks good, you look good.
I look good. It complements the work.
Yeah.
So it's a sacrifice. But the question is that sacrifice really worth it? Is that sacrifice really worth it? You not achieving your dreams, you holding your dreams for somebody else, and let's say they don't want it like you want it.
So it's a domino effect of, now if they don't want it and they digress, everything's messed up for you.
Everything is messed up. Yeah. It's a waste of time. If they don't want it like you want it, it's a waste of time. There's no business.
Yeah.
It's one way.
Yeah.
It's like, now I have to work with your emotions to see if I can make money.
And that's the thing about emotions, you know? If you can barely control other people's emotions, so if they don't have a handle on it, you don't stand a chance in reasoning if they cannot reason with themselves.
Yeah.
Which is where, like, my next theme comes from, is self-awareness. Self-awareness is so important. I had one of the best years of my life earlier this year, up until my birthday, when the shift started to change.
Yeah.
And challenged me. But this year, the beginning of this year, I thought passing 25 was going to be super scary, but it was actually very, very groundless and effortless. I felt like I definitely knew who I was, what I wanted to be. I was manifesting that. It was super great. I really knew how to handle challenges, and they changed me for the better. But there, like I said, there was a change and a shift around my birthday when I just realized that it's either I created a smoke screen to protect myself, or I was simply not paying attention to the bad things in my life, to the point where I just ignored them. And I just realized, just because you shut your eyes hard and pretend something's not there, doesn't mean when you open it, it won't. It's just going to disappear. So one of my toxic traits was being dissociative. Then I realized I'm doing no favors for myself if I keep ignoring problems that are just going to find me there and keep piling up, probably even be bigger. So I was self-aware to the point where I knew clearly I had the formula. It took, after a difficult year in 2019, to change my life and to shift it and to have people I wanted to have in my life. And I was just really liking who I was. But that doesn't mean that the struggles are going to stop. Life is a never-ending journey of challenges, and it's always going to force you to leave old versions of yourself to birth new ones.
Exactly.
And that's what we were even speaking about on the way here when I told you about how I had a friend who blocked me because we had a disagreement, a very severe disagreement, but it was one of those disagreements where you're at peace with cutting someone off. No drama, no back-to-back, no backlash. It was just a clean cut because you knew that even if you still love the person, there's no way you can both move forward together. You just move forward apart. Yeah. You fall forward apart.
Yeah.
So with that said, I read the capture. I was just I started stalking her because I saw a picture of her. I was like, oh, she's back. Okay. And you know, for me, it's like the drama that I had left it in. Like, people will live in your past more than you will. I am not the same version that I've been when we fought to now. I've made peace with certain aspects.
Yes.
So I remember the caption really, you know, people will be fake and post fake post 60 seconds and not mean them. Her name starts with D. And I was like, wow. Like, that was
like, crazy, eh?
I was like, the old version of me would have been like, I'm gonna clap back. Like, oh, this way there would have been 1,000 Insta stories right now. You already remember.
I know.
I used to be a hot mess. I could not, I couldn't act right on social media. Yeah. I couldn't act right.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I just took a deep breath and I was like, you know what? She hasn't interacted with me in a long time. I could sit here and blame her for not knowing the version that I've become, or I could actually reason it out in my head. She left me in a particular, I left a particular image of myself in her head. And she has not gone past that because of probably all the misinformation that's around her about who I am. But what I won't accept for both myself, even when my self-talk had to be positive, because like, despite you not always living up to the posts that you might post about, you're trying, you're always trying. To be that person, you're a work in progress, and it beats the person who is slandering you on a caption versus the person who's actually trying to be more positive on their posts and live a positive life. Because my existence, my growth cannot be determined by one fallout with somebody. You know what I mean? It cannot be determined by that. Like, my growth is not tied to your perception of me.
True, you know?
I don't know if you've had any difficulties with any friendships of late, because I fell out with a few people, but it wasn't those normal fallouts. It was those disagreements that, you know, maybe it's right, just not right now. We all need to grow a bit.
One thing that I learned about friendship is it's never a friendship if both sides are not benefiting from the friendship in itself. If it's one way whereby I have to be your friend because I have to be associated by you because of your glow or because of your, you know, just the fact that you have money or because of the fact that you have opportunities.
Materialistic.
It's fake.
Yeah.
You know, real friends, you know, they look out for one another in trying times and in good times. Like, you get to know your friend very nicely when times are really tough. This year has really taught people a lot of things, like,
oh yes,
a lot of couples, relationships even, you know, have fallen off just because of
domestic violence rates have even
just because of somebody
up,
just
because of isolation.
Like, everything needs to be them.
Yeah,
it has become a year whereby it has really shown people who they are, what they are,
especially when living together in the same space.
Exactly.
That's the best way to learn who someone is.
Yeah, you know,
that's so why you recommend you to live with someone before actually marrying them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I've learned a lot. Like, okay, on friendship, basically, I've fallen out in business partnerships a lot. Most of my they have conditioned my life is I'll be your friend if you're working together. But I can't be your friend if we're not having something in common between us.
And most importantly, if you're working on yourself as well.
You gotta work on yourself as I work on myself.
Yeah,
it can't be a scenario.
We gotta work on ourselves before we work together.
Exactly. It can't be a scenario whereby I'm only your friend because, you know, I motivate you or I tell you things that you wanna hear. You, it's fake. It's all fake. It doesn't make sense,
and
you know?
Even one of the themes this year I had to unlearn, ironically, just aligning into what you're saying, is let us start tarnishing the idea of unconditional love. And this is what I mean by that. Your love should have conditions. You know, like, people should respect you when you respect them.
Exactly.
To occupy my space, you have to be a creature of reciprocity. You know, if I'm respecting you, respect me.
Yeah.
If I love you, love me back. If I'm putting effort, meet me halfway. That idea of unconditional love can really make people stay in situations they're not supposed to be in. And it's just a reflection of how you fear abandonment so much that you will abandon parts of yourself just to stay around people who you feel need to validate you or you feel like you need to prove something to, but in actuality, just aren't on the same wavelength as you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So another theme for me, and I love this one, I highly recommend Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith. She has been a great theme this year. I wish, not even I wish, I will. I've been entangled in the Red Table Talk.
Something
and I have been loving it. I have been absolutely loving it. She is an inspiration. You see, I've even just lit up. She is brilliant. She's well-spoken. And most importantly, she does the work. Jada does the work. Because despite the entanglement fiasco, her and Will Smith handled that like a boss. Like, talk about, like, you know, you're a manager. Talk about, that was one of the most well-done PR.
Like, for me,
damage control,
that was like one
aspects,
of the best,
you know,
PR elements. But you see, from a strategic point of view, is okay. From an outlook of a professional, it was well put. If you look at it as a professional PR,
absolutely.
But if you look at them, it's not like they don't have chemistry between themselves. You know what I mean? They have this kind of chemistry that, when they even did the table talk,
it was natural. It was
just natural.
It's like their brands
look forced,
because
like they always look forced whenever people do things.
Those are two individuals that did the work, and it became their work. That's why their brands just complemented each other and flowed together, and they could actually talk so openly and transparently about an issue that had been affecting their marriage for so long. And mainstream media thought, "I'm gonna bring these guys down," but that's not what happened. You know. And with that said, Will Smith said something the other day that really resonated with me when it came to solving issues that you don't understand with your partner. And I just realized this is kind of the theme I'm going to use when I just can't fathom what somebody is saying or when I just don't understand it and I'm just hitting a head bump here because it's like, I don't get it. That's not what I would do. Why are you doing that? You're crazy, you know? So he used this element. It's called the L-U... V.
Yes.
It's how you spell love, but in reverse, like L-U-V. So it's a listen to what the person is saying. We need to actively listen and not passively hear people. We need to actually, despite how difficult it might be, that's the only way you're going to solve it. Because if you keep passively listening to someone, you're going to miss it. And then you're going to keep coming back. Keep coming back.
That's true.
So listen to what the person is saying. Understand, understand them, understand that this is their time, this is their space to talk, and vice versa. Even when you're talking, understand this is where this is coming from, listen to yourself, and this is the best part of the V, is validate what you agree with, and leave the rest for the other person to explain further, elaborate further, make you understand further so you can both progress forward, because it's not about having the final say. That's the thing about the usual couple fights. People always want the final say so they can prove that person was the villain. I was not the villain. And you just realize that's not the way it actually works. In all aspects of life that are tied together irrevocably, you're going to actually have to listen to things you don't want to. In order for people to receive feedback from you that they don't want to. It's all an exchange. So validate, even like with advice. Advice or like a pair of shoes. Find the one that fits and leave the rest for somebody else. So that was a great theme for me in order to just start and stop. Start understanding and stop butting heads with things I don't understand. Have you found a formula for yourself that works when you deal with difficult things or difficult people? Let's say me and you have an argument right now. What's the formula you use that normally works with people when you have disagreements? I know people vary, but what's the one that stands out for you the most?
The one that stands out is knowing what to say at the right time. Because the thing is,
powerful.
You gotta use your words very wisely. You cannot just utter words not knowing that it may come with a serious, consequential, you know, repercussion of how you say it.
So it's like you can embody the truth, but how you say it is what counts the most. The 90%
exactly
is how you're saying what you're saying.
And I've been battling that, including even in my relationship, my personal relationship.
Same,
my woman. I've been going through that, you know, because It's sometimes,
especially with me and you, are very strong-willed and assertive. So
exactly.
Sometimes what we feel like is just a gentle, like we're just saying it as it is, is actually really damaging to the other person and not receivable.
You know, for me, I like educating. I like people who are teachable. You know what I mean?
Teachable.
Like, okay, you know, like,
yes.
This is the scenario. This is how it turned out. Yeah, I messed up. I'm sorry. Is there a way we could figure? Like, be humorous enough to know when to say I'm sorry first and foremost before you start bashing the next person that you are the only one.
Be self-aware enough.
You know, you never accept your mistakes. You're always, you know, like, have you taken time, first of all, to understand where I'm coming from as a person?
Because people don't just react. I've always said this. Everything comes from somewhere.
Exactly.
Even sometimes when it's one of those situations where I feel like I've definitely not done anything wrong, I just realize it might not be your fault that that person is feeling that way, but it's your responsibility to help them also figure it out.
Yeah.
Because things could come from childhood trauma, things could come from a bad day at work, things could come from the fact that people are just hungry, like me, myself.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
So it was very, very important for me to realize that I could also be the problem with how I stated certain things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that also stood out for me was forgiveness of self.
Mm-hmm.
So I just realized in order to forgive other people's, I have to first forgive myself. There are a lot of relationships I had to cut off last year that really, really impacted me a lot, to the point where I started feeling shame and guilt over cutting them off. So with that said, I had to start forgiving myself for not being able to bring them with me, forgiving myself for not being able to change, to pass them along, etc., etc. So with that said, forgiveness of self in order to forgive others was a huge key, and it was very liberating when you also start thinking, where did that person come from as well? So a really, really powerful revolution for me was body positivity, actually, because this year I had gained a substantial amount of weight and people kept commenting about it, but I actually really, really liked it. So a really major theme in my life this year was like my joy, my value, and my possibility wasn't tied to how much I weigh or how much I don't weigh. So the only weight I needed to lose were the weight of other people's opinions. So body positivity has been really great to just dabble in, to just do my research on, because I realized modesty empowers some, nudity empowers others, and all forms are okay. So Castro,
yes,
have you ever dealt with body dysmorphia, body imagery as a man? How has that affected you? Because I've dealt with that this year, as I just chimed in before, and I was wondering, from a male point of view, how do you feel about all of this negativity surrounding body imagery today, especially with women?
Yeah, especially with women. Yeah, for me, personally, I've never, like, I've always entertained myself. I used to be a chubby kid, and I enjoyed the fact that I even had a nickname of a fat boy.
Okay.
I embraced
it. So you armored it.
Like me, I embraced.
You embraced
all my,
what was perceived,
you know,
as a flaw.
Even when I got skinny, I still appreciated the fact that I was called a skinny boy, and I still embraced.
You
all
embraced
processes.
All the versions of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your body does fluctuate; it doesn't always stay the same,
the
guys.
Same, you know. Yeah. So I think for females, I think it's a little bit more sex sensitive because of the fact that, you know, the emotional self esteem part plays a major role on a woman.
And also the glamorization of one body type has changed from like early 90s, it was skinny with abs, and then it started going from slim thick, and now it's just thick, you know. And we're like, we can't keep up, we can't constantly conform. So for like women, it's so much difficult because mainstream media tells you, you
this
don't look good,
look like.
This is not how it works. No, too much makeup, not enough, too big, too small. We can never really win with it. But I love the fact that you've always been so comfortable in yourself. And even with your partners of choice, we discussed this earlier. You don't mind if a girl is petite. You don't mind if she's plus size. It doesn't matter.
Because at the end of the day, all I tell people is it doesn't matter what's on the physical element.
Oh, yeah. That's
what
very,
matters
very...
is intrinsic you, like what's inside you. Yeah. And if you can make what inside you, because if you can make what inside you shine to outweigh how people look at you, man, I think that's the greatest thing ever. Because there are people
truly
who consider themselves not even plus size, not even skinny, but they just consider themselves ugly. And I keep telling people, don't consider yourself ugly. There's nobody ugly in this world.
There's no way. It's all about perception and what we have consumed for so many years and perceived beauty.
Exactly.
But I love the fact that you said that. It's super great to know that there is a male friend and colleague of mine who actually doesn't bring down women for gaining weight or not gaining weight, for being skinny.
Man up this festive season. Get chubby as well.
Get chubby or don't. Yeah, but it's also, it's very comforting to know that now the narratives are changing and people are just embracing it more, embracing themselves and their perceived flaws. Because body dysmorphia, you end up really isolating one flaw and like really hyper-focusing on it so much to the point it starts to affect your emotional and mental health. It starts to go at a decline.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm glad that I also overcame that this year. Mm-hmm. And I did it very, very effortlessly because of the support system I had. You know, it's great to have a partner who also does understand, love your body and love the core of who you are as well. That's been great.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think I have two more themes left and then we can wrap this up.
Yeah.
So also another thing about the forgiveness aspect, is just the fact that mistakes are just a natural part of living. It's what you do next. So I think that extending empathy towards yourself is really, really important. That's something that I've learned that I do for others, but I'm not doing for myself. So that's the thing with takers. They don't have limits such as givers do. So sometimes you'll overextend yourself so much and you're not giving back to yourself. So we have to be able to celebrate our small wins and celebrate our losses because adversity has a lot to teach us. It doesn't take from us, it's happening for us.
Exactly.
You know? What do you think?
I think it's life. Every little step, every little effort. I always tell guys, consider more of the lessons than the losses. Just consider the fact that if I was working towards something, put it in levels of layers. Like, I've achieved this. So that you can even applaud yourself.
That's
true. This morning on my Instagram, I told guys, like, it's very essential for entrepreneurs to be recognized and to give themselves accolades. Don't wait for somebody to accolade you.
Oh.
Give yourself
the acknowledgement
of the fact that you're enhancing and growing the economy in itself.
And you're doing it while simultaneously enhancing and growing yourself.
Exactly.
So it's
without
just
a business, there's no, nobody earns money. So it's just a matter of, you know, you accepting growth in life in whatever you do. It doesn't have to be business even. It could be like the fact that you decided, I'll take a step to accept the fact that, you know, I will lose weight once it comes 2021.
And you know, there's a past version of yourself right now that's cheering for you, that's very proud of how far you've come. Because I remember one of the philosophers I read about once said in a very cheesy but very fitting way, they're like, a step forward and a step backwards is not a disaster, it's the cha-cha. It's like the dance of life.
Yeah.
So one step forward, five steps backwards, 10 steps forward, 2 steps backwards. That's the thing about life. It's not predictable. You just have to harmoniously go with the flow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So another theme as well, it just hit me, I hadn't touched on it, is unhealthy ways of viewing love and friendships. That has been a great theme for me, not relying too much on my friends or even my partner as my personal therapist. Just realize that people can only meet you as deeply as they've met themselves, and it's unrealistic to put pressure on everybody around you to be everything for you. Like, for instance, unhealthy love would be two people wanting each other to solve each other's problems, as opposed to two people recognizing that they both have different issues but they need support in figuring out what those issues are. You know, because that's extremely important, to also not allow people to consume you in that manner, to dictate your worth, to dictate, like, for instance, if they don't text back, you freak out and then it's like your whole day's messed up, all sorts of fears and anxieties come through your mind. It's like small things like this that can consume you. So you are Castro, I am Daniela, before I am so-and-so's friend or so-and-so's partner. Putting yourself first is actually how you end up having some of the best friendships and interactions, and not in like a selfish way, in a manner where you're complimenting each other without consuming each other. What do you think?
I think for me it's learning how to appreciate people more.
Gratitude.
Uh-huh. You know, the way you can be able to see more of a person just than the outlook of themselves.
Yeah.
The way they are, the way they make you probably smile because of the way they glow, and the way they look.
Yeah.
I feel like people should connect more in spirit
to more intimate levels beyond
because that's where
physical attributes.
That's where the level of tolerance with one another comes in place. That's where the level of
communication,
understanding, and communicating with one another comes in place.
Exactly.
So a lot of people feel like they always need to be on guard. So that
their walls are up because of their experiences.
Whenever somebody's trying to hurt their feelings, they already feel like I'm okay. I've already solved
it's a survival
situation.
Instinct based off of the accumulation of responses. It's like a reflex action, you know, like when you get stung, you're just like ouch, you know, or when you are about to get hit by something, you'll move. So even with that said, it's like learning how to put your guard down can also be a great teaching moment for you.
Exactly. Like I've really learned that, especially from my woman.
Yeah.
You know, like don't feel like you're being attacked. Just feel like you're being taught. Don't look at it that way. Whenever I'm trying to, you know,
communication
something,
is
like to be honest, the way they say men are poor communicators.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. It's real. Like
whenever, the way men and women receive things are different.
Especially we chase money, you know. Women, it's different because you're emotionally in tune.
Yeah, that's
true.
What
I mean?
Yeah, societal norms have brought us up in this manner.
When you catch me in a business mode, my emotions are on the money.
Yeah.
They're not even on you.
Yeah.
So if I promise for us to we have to be on a date by 7 and I show up at 7:30,
yeah,
I expect, of course, you'll be mad at me.
And it's the idea of broken masculinity that people expect men to not use their emotions enough and women to have too much of them.
Exactly.
And even on the aspect of unhealthy relationships, communication without comprehension is just noise. Meaning you can speak a message, you can say it, you can yell it, but if there's no comprehension from the other end, it's like using a phone, trying to talk to somebody else, but the signal is still off.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you shout, it's still off. So you need to be in tune with yourself. So one of the last themes that I learned now is less performative growth and healing and more actual performative, and more actual healing. So what this basically means is I realize a lot of us turn to social media for a lot of validation, gratification, to chime in on what's on our minds, how far we've grown, what we're doing. Then I just realized, I had an epiphany this year, like, I get the people that wake up at 6 in the morning. I get the people that enjoy reading in cafes alone. The people that enjoy painting art to themselves. Cafe dates without having to take pictures of what they're eating. It's like it's less performative and it's you actually living your life.
Yeah.
And there is so much power in doing that, you know. So with that said, it's the magic is in the moments and you need to enjoy and embrace all the simple ones. That's where I'm at right now. That's chapter
good.
Of my life, yeah. Magic lives in the moment. That's the chapter I'm in right now.
Do you have resolutions for 2021?
My resolution for 2021, yes, I do actually. Joyce Meyer once said, challenge it and it will change. So I want to challenge myself to be uncomfortable with the pain of changing rather than stay comfortable and familiar with the pain of staying the same. So I want to push myself to grow in all aspects and I want to make sure that I stick to it because I know I'm going to reap the rewards that I want and most importantly, the rewards that I need.
That's deep.
And we're going to chime into more deep stuff for part 2 of Castro's lowdown of his 2021. So don't go anywhere. Happy holidays, guys, and see you shortly.